As I'm sure many of you know, many fundamentalist Christians are annoyed by the holiday we celebrate here, Halloween. And some have actually tried to do away with it because they see it as pagan and anti-Christian. In some places, they have done battle with school boards over practices like allowing children to come to school in costume. On the internet, you can find some of them preaching and railing against Halloween as a satanic holiday. They trace the holiday back before Christianity to the ancient Celts in Europe who honored Samhain, their god of the dead, on October 31st. In this, they are correct, but they are wrong in dubbing Halloween satanic and in implying, as some actually do, that the god Samhain was actually Satan, the devil, the evil one who, they say, is always trying to drag us into hell. Some years ago, I attended a conference of local clergy, and one minister, one from a liberal Christian tradition, in fact, surprised me when he spoke of how he deals with Halloween. He said he has a party for the children at his church, blesses them all in the name of Jesus Christ, and then sends them out trick-or-treating. By way of explanation, he said, "We're trying to take Halloween back from the pagans." Excuse me, but the pagans had it first. The ancient Celts who celebrated Samhain over 3,000 years ago had never heard about Moses, much less about Jesus and Satan. The god for whom their holiday was named was a god of the harvest and of winter, a god of the darkness and the spirits of the dead, not a negative thing. The evening of Samhain, October 31st, was their New Year's Eve, the holiest day of the Celtic year, when ancestral spirits rose and went to visit their living descendants. This special evening was thought to be a time of year when the seam between the natural and the supernatural worlds would open just a bit, and the spirits of the dead could slip through the seam into the world of the living. It also marked the beginning of winter, which people quite naturally associated with death and with the coming of darkness. The ancient Celts would light great bonfires on hilltops on that holy eve to help the sun as it began to weaken with the approach of winter and to attract good spirits and ward off the evil ones. On this sacred night, the god Samhain would guide dead spirits back to their family homes. Actually, if it weren't for Christianity, the Halloween that some modern Christians seem to be so upset about might have just faded into oblivion. The name Halloween, or All Hallows' Eve, was given to the holiday by the Christian Church in an effort to co-opt the holiday. By the 8th century, the church realized that the descendants of the Celts and other British Isles inhabitants were just not going to give up celebrating the old pagan New Year's Eve on that date, October 31st, as they had done for centuries. So the holiday was renamed All Hallows' Eve, the Eve of All Saints' Day, November 1st, a day to honor all Christian saints who did not have a separate saint day of their own. The following day, All Souls was set aside to honor all people who have died. The church was, of course, very clever in co-opting pagan holidays. In the case of Halloween, since the pagans used this time to remember and honor their ancestors, the church preserved this theme of honoring the dead. In other cultures as well, from Greece to Africa, from Sicily to Mexico, the onset of winter, when vegetation dies, is set aside to remember the dead. Our American Halloween custom of dressing to look like dead spirits came to us via Irish immigrants. But we now dress in any costume, and the religious theme of honoring the dead has been separated from the rest of the holiday. But the vestiges of it are still there. When a little kid comes to your door for trick or treat dressed as a ghost, remember the child is hearkening back to the ancient belief in dead spirits slipping through the crack between the two worlds. And when we carve pumpkins into grinning faces and put a lit candle inside, we are recalling the ancient practice of using carved turnips or rutabagas as candle holders to light the way to the bonfires on the hill. So much of what we still celebrate harkens back to those ancient religious practices. In Mexico and in other parts of Central and South America, November 2nd, All Souls Day, is a very, very big holiday. It is El Día de los Muertos, the Day of the Dead. There, the tradition of remembering and honoring the dead is preserved. People visit their relatives' graves. They decorate their tombstones. They leave a gift and say prayers to the dead. And often they have a picnic in the cemetery. They eat foods that were favorites of the dead ancestors. They decorate in their homes altars, ofrendas like this, with skeletons often dressed up as if they were alive. In fact, a whole area of Mexican folk art has grown up around this holiday. On the cover, you see one such example from the famous engraver José Posada. Those who celebrate El Día de los Muertos give children gifts that remind them of their own mortality. They get skulls made of candy or paper mache, and they get skeleton puppets on a string and other such gifts. And a popular custom is to make up rhyming epitaphs of living friends and relatives called calaveras, meaning skulls. So I tried my hand at this process with some of our service participants. You all didn't see the choir. They were practicing this morning. So I wrote one for the choir, one of these epitaphs. The members of the choir produce such a heavenly song, when they are bones, they'll rattle, for the larynx will be gone. And another, Marla, our musician, plays piano with such ease, the sound will be quite different when just bones click on those keys. Glenn, our worship leader, helps to lead our festive service. Someday his bones will dance around and make us all quite nervous. I didn't spare myself. There goes Joy, a skull with topknot red. How svelte she will finally be when she is good and dead. So these whimsical traditions of Central and South America actually, when you think about it, make death seem more natural and less of a fearsome thing. Here are adults and children eating bread shaped into skeletons and eating candy skulls, making up silly epitaphs, dressing up skeletons as if they were still living, laughing about one of the greatest terrors of human existence, laughing about our mortality. They are also acknowledging that although death is necessary to make room for new life, the dead are never fully gone. They live on in their descendants and in loving memory. In celebrating their version of Halloween, they are not playing with Satan, as the fundamentalists would have it. They are playing with and almost making a friend of death itself. The Mexican writer Carlos Valdez has said of the Day of the Dead customs, "We defend ourselves from death with mockery. Our sense of humor prevents us from breaking our skulls against the blank wall of a graveyard." This attitude of mocking death reminds me of Zen philosopher Alan Watts' description of how the medieval church fathers approached death in the construction of a particular church crypt in Rome, which I had a chance to see for myself a couple of years ago on a brief trip. This is what Alan Watts wrote about it. "I think of the crypt of the Capuchin Church on the Via Veneto in Rome, three chapels entirely decorated with the bones of the departed fathers, altars made of piled skulls and shin bones, ceilings adorned with floral garlands, vertebrae for the flowers and ribs for the stems. Every fixture, every decoration, dem bones. Hundreds of disassembled skeletons crammed into this small crypt with a narrow stairway. What an uproar there will be on the day of resurrection when all those bones try to reassemble themselves and go scurrying upstairs for the last judgment. Excuse me, Father, but isn't that my fifth metatarsal?" And Watts continues, "When I saw the gently wicked glint in the eyes of the bearded little friar who was collecting the tourists' offerings, I realized that such chapels could have been created only by people who had completely seen through the terrors of death. Some dread skeletons, others play with them." Death is a natural part of life, something that seems so obvious, and yet in some ways we forget this in our sanitized American way of death, where the corpse is embalmed and dressed up or quickly hidden away, and there is little ritual of remembrance once the funeral is over. So today in our Halloween service, we join with Spanish-speaking New World inhabitants and with indigenous Central and South American peoples, and we join with the ancient Celts and with peoples all over the world, ancient and modern, who set aside a special time for remembering and for honoring those who have gone before us. Today, our service has been a mixture of Halloween, All Souls Day, and El Día de los Muertos. And in this service, our loved ones have metaphorically slipped back through the crack between the worlds to be with us in our loving memories. We recognize those who have passed from our lives, and we recognize them in ourselves and in our children. We recognize them in that certain expression of the eyes, in the story or the recipe that has been handed down, in the yellow-tinted photographs, in the gestures we almost unconsciously mimic, or the code of ethics that they taught us. Even the ancient dead, the pagans who lit fires, and the primitives who scribbled on cave walls, whose names we do not know, they are our dead too. They are the ones who have gone before. This is a hallowed day, a day for all the souls, and we lovingly remember them.